Let's get scratching.
We got an explosive broadcast coming to you. Listen up. Sega games, just keep playing them.
Sega!
We're back. It's the Sagabit Swing Report Show. Live.
Get ready for Sega interviews and news.
Hello and welcome back to the Sagabits Swingin' Report Show Live. I'm Barry, and this is a very special episode. We are on the release day of Sonic the Hedgehog 3, and it's technically the second day because there were events last night and showings, as well as some stuff earlier in the week, but let's kick it off the correct way. Dear God, Project Shadow. God, that didn't work out the way I wanted it to. But, so it's about time that we've had another Sagabit Swingin' Report Show. And the psychophant, or should I say psycho friend, in the chat here, Sonicu, says, "Whoa, baby, the longest-running Sega podcast." And yeah, I like saying that because it's true. The Sagabit Swingin' Report Show started February of 2010, and we have been putting out episodes, at the very least, yearly. We've never missed a year. There's been some years where we've had a couple episodes. There's been some years where we've had them happening once a week. But here it is, longest-running Sega podcast. Not the best. I'm just saying longest-running. And so I'm going to take this off. But if you can't tell, the Sonic the Hedgehog 3 movie happened. I saw it, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about it a little bit. If you are new to the program, this is a podcast show. We talk about Sega news, we do interviews, and this is definitely the news side of things. Now, we do have Sega News Bits Live, which are like shorter form videos. They're not meant to have a long shelf life. Often we'll talk about things that become obsolete within a week, and then like 3 years later I'll get a comment saying, "Actually, Roger Craig Smith did not retire. He's back." And I'm like, "I know that. We talked about it 3 years, and we all know whatever." Anyway, but yeah, this is going to be just kind of a free-flowing discussion, one-person discussion on my thoughts on the movie, so I guess you could consider that a review. I'm not going to do a written review for the website. I welcome people to leave comments if they have seen the movie. If they haven't, I will turn on a little spoilers bit, which will probably stay on for a majority of the runtime of this. But before we get to that, let's talk about the fan event. So they did this for Sonic 2. I don't know if they did it for Sonic 1, but they did it for Sonic 2. And they do this for a lot of like big movies coming out. Lion King, actually, Mufasa the Lion King had one last night. And it was interesting. I didn't see any fights breaking out between the Sonic fans and the Mufasa fans. But that was definitely interesting. But the one I went to, and I think across the country, they all kind of started around 3 o'clock. Regal was doing them, AMC was doing them, I think Cinemark was doing them, so a lot of the national chains, at least here in the States. And yeah, it was a 3 o'clock showing. They promoted it as having like special content for just the event, and I'll get into that or lack thereof. But yeah, so I showed up and got my tickets. I actually got like physical tickets. I scanned. Little tip, if you like having little physical tickets to remember events, you can actually go up to the kiosk, at least at AMC, scan the QR code, and it'll print them out. I have to dig those out of my wallet. I hope they're still in there. But it's cool to have like physical Sonic 3 tickets, because I definitely do not have one for the first film, because I didn't get to see it in theaters because of COVID, and long story behind that, too. Not just COVID, but like me seeing the movie. Sonic 2 I did see, but I don't think I ever got the physical tickets. But I did get a lot of physical goodies here. So let's take a look at some pictures. This is vacation slideshow time. So this is the trunk of my car. And yeah, I went with my daughter. So we got two of the poster. You can see it here. I think that says stupid American foreigners not welcomed or something in Japanese. I'm not sure. And then you could pick from one of four keychains. So they had Sonic, Knuckles, Tails, and Shadow. And I opted for Sonic, and my daughter opted for Shadow. So we're halfway there. And let's see, the next picture. This is what they were selling at the AMC. So they had these character cups, very cool. You could only get the character cups in this like $30 combo. And what you got, and I'll show after the little slideshow here, is you would get a cup, you'd get a popcorn tub, which is not the Sonic head you see there. And then you would also get that thing I was wearing earlier of Shadow. But it was cool because you would get, you could pick whichever four, Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, or Shadow for the head piece. You could pick Sonic, Tails, or Knuckles for the cup. And then the bucket kind of had all three of them, or four of them, I should say. And I opted for Shadow across the board just because he's like the big name guy here. For the collectors out there, the Tails is a double dip. It's the same figure as they did for Sonic 2. The Sonic is new because the Sonic 2 Sonic, I almost feel, was like the old design, or it was bad, like a bad iteration of the movie version. It just looked really weird. The Knuckles is new. I kind of wish I got that. If I was with like another person, or if I go again and do this, I would probably opt for the Knuckles. He looks really cool there. Then they also had an Icy. Now, don't get too excited. This is just like red and blue Icies with rebranding. But it's still cool. And they had like this thing where you would put Blue Raz Pop Rocks. I did not see those anywhere. I don't know how that worked. I don't know if you had to like buy the Pop Rocks extra. I don't really need that. It's like a sugar overload. Here's the poster. Got to take a picture of that. And then in the theater, surprisingly, during the pre-show, which I do believe they run these, you know, monthly or weekly for all showings, they had sprinkled in commercials. So there was Sonic Rumble, and there was also Sonic and Shadow Generations, which was really cool to see, like, Sonic game trailers in the theater before the movie, and I'm presuming before, like, Mufasa, before anything playing this holiday season. Sega's going all out, and they're showing these commercials, which is just wild to me. And then I wore my $800 Sonic shoes. I mean, they were like $90 or something when I got them, but on the secondary market. I'm not a sneakerhead. This is like the only nice pair of shoes I own. But yeah, I've only worn these to the Sonic Symphony, both times I've seen Sonic 2 and Sonic 3. So they've only been worn like four or five times, only for Sonic events. So they're special occasion shoes. And there's me posing the night of. I hung it up. So yeah, there you have it. That's what was going on at the special event. And it was really interesting at the special event because I thought there would be more at the onset. Like, I thought they were going to show maybe a little 5-10 minute behind the scenes bit where, you know, like they have interviews and like little pre-animated Sonic, Tails, Knuckles stuff. But it was just the actors who played Tom, Maddie, and Sonic just like thanking people for coming out. And then the movie started immediately. There was no trailers, nothing, which I actually really appreciated, but it was just kind of funny because I'm sure a lot of people bake in that trailer time for their, coming out to the theater. And so as the intro was going on, intro to the movie, people started coming in and like taking their seats. So that was kind of distracting. I had this one like father son next to me who was like in the wrong seats, and then they were like going over here and talking to another guy and getting him to like move. It was all very weird. Like, I don't understand people who don't follow the basic like assigned seats thing we have going on in movie theaters that have been happening for like 15 years now. It's pretty basic. Like, if you get a seat, you sit in the seat. I don't get it. But the guy sitting next to me, he'll come back later. Yeah, overall, it was a lot of fun. As far as the fan event goes, I think like value for money, it was really great. Like, I think the tickets were about 30 or 20% off. So, you know, it was like $20 for the tickets, $30 for the popcorn stuff. So let's show these off real quick before we get into talking about the movie. Oh, Shadow fell off. So like I said, I opted for the Shadow Cup. So here he is, the ultimate life form atop the ultimate cup. That's pretty sick. And there's Shadow. So he's, you know, he's to scale with the Sonic 2 ones they had as well, which were like kid size. These are big ass drinks. And again, the only way you can get this is in that combo, which also gives you this bucket. And I like this bucket. This is really cool. I don't know if you can see. But yeah, Shadow's inside. So you fill it with popcorn, and then as you eat the popcorn, Shadow's revealed in the window. And then on the sides, there's Sonic with the, what is that, the Sonic 1 render. Or maybe they redid it, but it's the same pose. Knuckles, and then Tails doing his Sonic 2 pose. And then on the bottom, you got the Sonic 3 logo. So yeah, $30 for this. Oop, he fell off. This and this is not a bad deal. I would go for that, if anything. But enough about the merch. Let's talk about the movie. So my history with the Sonic franchise is, I don't know, pretty interesting because as the lead up to the first movie was going on, obviously I was with all of, you know, it's not like I'm a different or above any fans in terms of the rollout of the marketing and the reveals. But I will say there were a few moments early on that I was like privy to the development of the movie. There was a moment where I was at the Sonic 20th anniversary event, and there's a VIP section, and there were producers or filmmakers or writers from the original, like, kind of early inception of this movie. I don't know if they were working for Paramount at the time. It might have been Sony, because I know it kind of bounced around, but they were there, and they were in the VIP section, and I didn't speak to them personally. I knew some people who did, and they were definitely picking the brains of, like, well-known Sonic community people. So it was clear they were, like, they haven't even started the process, or, you know, they were kicking around ideas, and they were like, what do you want in a Sonic movie? And of course, what I want is I want Sonic to come to life from the back of a jacket. I want a lot of, like, teenagers mutating into animals. I want Dr. Paul Ellison with his The Fingerless Virtuoso. No, that's the 1994 abandoned film. But it's clear that, like, for decades, they didn't know how to make a Sonic movie. And unsurprisingly, when they first started the rollout for that Sonic 1, they definitely did not know how to make a Sonic movie. I mean, they, outside of, like, the Tom and Maddie and the Green Hills and the Ring Portals, really what told me they didn't know what they were doing was the design of Sonic. He looked absolutely butt ugly. It was terrible. There is an alternate reality where that was the design of Sonic, and it was a one-and-done film. There was no post-credits Tails. There probably wasn't even, like, shaved head Robotnik in the post-credits. You know, it's just, thankfully, you know, the fans spoke up and things turned around. But I'll gloss over my history with Sonic 1 and 2. But suffice to say, when 2 was revealed, I was finally on board. It seemed like they didn't have a creative shakeup. They just had, like, a mental shakeup. I think the team behind 1 finally realized what would work. I presume Sega stepped in a bit more and gave them a little more direction. I'd like to know more about the behind the scenes there. I don't know who would admit to be in the wrong and who would admit to be in the right. I think more people would want to be in the right than the wrong in terms of the direction of the franchise. But I'm just happy to say that it's been on the right track since Sonic 2 and Sonic 3. It exceeded a lot of my expectations, and it also did not exactly meet some of them. So I'm going to turn the spoilers on now, because I'm going to start talking about the content of the film itself. So what I loved so much about Sonic 2 was that it still was kind of all in with the concepts that they brought in from Sonic 1, which, to be honest, were kind of weird and out there, but it was like, that's what the film franchise is moving forward. So let's kind of stick to those things and maybe reshape them a little bit to fit the game narrative and make things interesting. And so what I really liked about Sonic 2 was that we spent some time in Green Hills, that they kind of shook things up with who Knuckles was in relation to Sonic. You know, there was no Angel Island. The Master Emerald, like, held the Chaos Emeralds inside of it like a Kinder Egg. So, but still, they gave us, like, some really cool iconic bits. Like, we finally had shaved head Robotnik with the big mustache in the, I don't know what you'd call it, I guess the Eggmobile, the Eggomatic. They had more animalistic creations from Eggman, like there were Buzz Bombers. I don't know what else there was. I think that might have been it, but I could have sworn that he created something else. And I guess my only nitpick for Sonic 3, I don't want to jump ahead all the way to that bit, but is that it lacked a lot of that. Robotnik was like dead on towards the end, like in terms of what I would love to see Jim Carrey look like on screen. But he also lacked like those animal robots outside of the giant crab. You only had the drones and they played a very small part. There was no little Egg-O-Matic. There was no Death Egg robot marching around. So I think a lot of that stuff I just really like from the games, and to not have that in Sonic 3 so much kind of was probably one of my only major disappointments. But yeah, overall, like, the movie is basically a straight up adaptation of Sonic Adventure 2. And that did not surprise me so much as what did surprise me were some of the ways they twisted the story around. So for example, let's look at Sonic 2 for a sec. So Sonic 2 threw a lot of things that we came to expect from Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Knuckles, but it did enough to make the story surprising. And what surprised me about Sonic 3 is, despite being a much more faithful adaptation to Sonic Adventure 2 than any of the previous films were game adaptations, it mixed things up in terms of Shadow's origin, Gerald's, you know, what Gerald meant for the story and his, like, what he took part in, you know, that whole bit, and also Robotnik or Ivo Robotnik, Eggman's, like, final moments. And so those were some of the bigger twists, which I appreciated. I think it kept the story interesting. Another show that did that, it is a show, but this isn't a show, was the Yakuza series on Amazon Prime. I know it's not the greatest. I think it's, like, you know, mid-range at best. But what I appreciated was that it wasn't just a remake of the cutscenes that we saw for the Yakuza series. It actually did shook it up enough to keep the story interesting for those who had already played the games. And I think in this case, the biggest thing they did was having Gerald Robotnik alive and also expanding on Maria. So instead of Maria just being this, like, little girl who is, like, touching the glass and then gets shot, she's actually a girl with a little personality, and you see her interests. You see her, you know, communicating with Shadow and actually having conversations and, you know, sharing her hopes and dreams for herself and for him. And I have to applaud them. I think the best thing that they did was not have Maria get shot, because to get, like, to get real here for a second, we've had enough gun violence in the real world in relation to children, and I do not need to see that on film screens. I also think there are a lot of people going to the theaters who are still, like, living too much online with memes in their head. And I think if Maria got shot, there would be a lot of people, like, cheering and laughing, which really would have been kind of messed up for the kids in the audience. And if I can just have a little aside, when I went to go see my showing, the guy who like shuffled around, he ended up sitting next to me. He was like quiet almost the entire film. And then when the Sonic and Shadow big moment came, and also the post credits, I saw him take out his phone and like start recording it. And I'm like, oh geez, what's this guy up to? And he started doing his own like react, like loud as like fuck. It was so loud. He was screaming, holy fucking shit, holy fucking shit. And he was doing that for no joke the entire duration of the scene. And then after the movie, the credits were rolling, he took out his phone and rewatched them. And then no doubt went down to get better cell signal and upload them to YouTube. And I think the worst thing happening to fandom right now, and I also have to scold Sega for working with these people, are the YouTube and Twitch influencers who really are all about the reaction videos and just like, who's that one guy, Fidel or whatever? Like people, like he gets press kits, he gets invites out to these things, and he's like, he's a shill. I don't know. It just, he does not, these aren't real reactions. These aren't real people. These are actors playing these parts so that they get noticed by big names and they get invited out to press events. And it's just sad. Until this happened, people didn't act like that. People didn't go like, let's go. No one said that shit. No one would scream like that. People would applaud and go, woo, I've been to enough movies to see that. I mean, I was there for all the prequels when, you know, the double-bladed lightsaber came out and all that kind of stuff. No one was whipping out their phone and filming it and screaming holy fucking shit and, like, doing, like, their, like role-playing as their favorite Twitch reactors. And so, to be, like, fully honest, I think that portion of, like, the fan base community is absolute shit. I don't like those people. I don't like associating with them, and I don't like that I sometimes have to like play nice with them so that like I don't look like I'm going after them or going after Sega for making decisions to work with them. But just like last night was just like seeing it in person. I was like, fuck this. Fuck that like whole like part of the community. I think it's complete bullshit. Anyway, where was I? I don't know. Was I talking about Gerald? Maybe I was. But yeah, to talk about Gerald. So I think it was a great decision to have him actually be a character within this movie because he's like the most non-character in the Sonic series. He's a cutscene character at best. He's only become an NPC recently in Sonic and Shadow Generations. So to actually like flesh him out and instead of having him get killed by the government, they had crazy Gerald just like remain crazy up until the events of this movie, which are, you know, essentially Sonic Adventure 2. And instead of having his journals and instead of having like the Eclipse Cannon running on its own and explaining what the Bio Lizard was and being like, oh, it's going against what we're trying to do, and it's following my grandfather's wishes. Like, he was actually there, and we got to see Crazy Gerald, like, enacting his plan in person, which, you know, for a movie, it just works so much better. And to be quite honest, I think it was kind of a weak point of Sonic Adventure 2, because, you know, again, talking about, like, his grandfather's journals and the Bio Lizard, and then Shadow the Hedgehog, the game, like, made it even more confusing with the with Black Doom and Black Arms and I don't know, you know, what other things were behind it. But it's just, it's very convoluted. And I loved that they simplified it and brought Gerald into the present. I think a highlight of the movie was seeing Jim Carrey in a dual role, which from what I've heard, this is the first time he's actually done that in a movie, which surprises me. He seems like the type to have done this, but I think I'm thinking of like, when they goofed on it in Tropic Thunder with, what was it, Dave Portnoy, and he was doing the Fatty's Fart too, and then they did, which was a spoof on The Clumps and Nutty Professor and all those movies where, you know, comedic actors would play multiple characters. I think the closest was probably Me, Myself, and Irene. That's when Jim Carrey, like, played different characters, but it was multiple personality instead of him actually playing off anyone. But That was a really strong part of it. Some scenes lasted a little too long, but I get it. Like, if you're going to have Jim Carrey in your movie playing two characters, you're going to use as much of that as you can. Maybe it worked against them. We'll see how fans react. But there are a few scenes that do drag on, particularly the laser dance, the nanobot fight, and also I think the slowest moving scene in the film is actually the gravity room. I get it. The joke is that they're like squished to the floor and some of them are floating, but it just kind of like for a while, like for a good like 30 seconds to a minute of that scene, it was just like people floating or being pushed to the floor and not much was happening. So that kind of dragged. I also thought it was interesting. This is going to be kind of stream of consciousness. I don't have notes, so excuse me. This isn't like a formal review. But I thought it was interesting that we did get all of these returning characters, but like Rachel and Randall were not actually in the movie. That was the biggest surprise for me, too. They were like little VR disguises with the little tails pin, which honestly, they should make those as little pins that you can wear. Not that they'd function, but I thought that was surprising to me because I was like, oh, I thought Rachel and Randall were also working for Gunn, but all those times in the trailers, we were seeing Tom and Maddie in disguise. I also think as much flack as the Knuckles series gets, I think the big payoff in this movie is Knuckles keeps talking about the Master Emerald being guarded, and I feel like anyone who has not seen the Knuckles series is like, oh, what's he talking about? And anyone who has is like, I bet Wade has it, you know? And then by the second or third time he brings it up and Sonic goes through that portal and Wade's there, like that's the whole payoff for the Knuckles series. But it's good that they kept that character dynamic there. Like it's not as though Sonic 3 came out and Knuckles and Wade have no relationship whatsoever. Like without Knuckles, the series, it kind of comes out of nowhere. So I appreciated that. But, you know, the big question is like, what is it? Rockwell? Natasha Rothwell? What is her name? Natasha. I keep thinking it's Rockwell's her character, but her name is Natasha something or other. She's a weird character because she like serves a purpose of basically doing what the Gunn commander's doing when he's basically dead. I guess I can't talk about the Gunn commander. I can't talk about Rockwell without talking about the Gunn commander. Yeah, he just kind of shows up at the Chow Garden restaurant, which was a really fun scene. He dies within like a minute. It was kind of a disappointing death. He was like a table was on top of him and he died. It's almost like the actor's like, I'm retired, but I'll do one more movie, but don't bring me back. And I guess pretty much Gerald Robotnik killed him. And it was weird because like, yeah, he's in the movie, but he makes absolutely no Olive Garden jokes. He's in Chow Garden. They could have had a line where he says, this place is great, but it's no Olive Garden. Or after he dies and Rockwell is going through his wallet, she could have pulled out an Olive Garden gift card before pulling out the, you know, finding that card's not there. She's like, oh, I found it. Oh, it's an Olive Garden gift card. Big disappointment. But yeah, he came and went. RIP. I actually rewatched the first movie not too long ago, and like I forgot how much he's in that movie and how he's the one that brings Robotnik into it. Commander Walters, thanks for reminding me in the chat. But I do want to throw out a challenge to anyone, and I might try it too in the coming month. I want you to get like a nice, maybe Walgreens print. I know they have those like, you can like stick them to a wall, like not permanently, but like, you know, they are on like metal with a little piece of foam. I want you to find a headshot of like that actor in costume. Like it looks like an official picture of Commander Walters. I want you to like do a nice Walgreens print so that you can stick it up on a wall. I want you to go to Olive Garden and try to put it somewhere in the restaurant where it like blends in, where it looks like it's a part of the restaurant, and take a picture of it and then like go back in a month and see if it's still there. I want this to happen nationwide. I want Commander Walter's portrait to be up in as many Olive Gardens as possible. And I think Sonic fandom can make me proud in doing that. I'll play my part. Maybe above a urinal, that would be kind of fun, like in the bathroom. But give it a try. But yeah, so after he died, it almost seems like the actor didn't want to do these anymore, but he was at least in this one as a favor. And so this Rockwell actor basically like plays his part throughout the rest of the movie, where she's the one still working for Gunn. And yeah, I thought that was fine. I actually think the one strong point of the Knuckles series was showing that there are still people within Gunn who are loyal to Robotnik. And so I was thinking that's where it would go. But part of me is happy that they didn't make the Knuckles series so dependent on Sonic 3, or Sonic 3 so dependent on the Knuckles series. And another part of me is like, that would have been interesting to have her be like a schism within Gunn. But this is, you know, a PG movie where they don't have enough time to build all that in. I mean, there's so much they already cut out of the movie, so I can't see that happening. Let's talk about what they cut out. So if you've been around the internet in the past few months or year, a footage leaked of the Knuckles series as well as Sonic 3, and it was it wasn't footage, it was storyboards, like animated storyboards, and the final scene of Robotnik being pushed by Shadow away from the Earth was there. And something very interesting is that the file name was like, it was like Time Travel Space Station or Space Station Time Machine or something like that. And it was very clear that Robotnik was looking at a watch and the clocks were going backwards right before the explosion. And around Robotnik, he sees all the events of Agent Stone, bringing him to life and nursing him back to health from Sonic 2. And then it even shows like moments before where Robotnik was fighting Gerald. And so it's clear that time travel was meant to play a role in this film, and they cut it. I don't know if they cut it while they were in post-production and they actually filmed some of this or what. But a few theories I have is that, like, Robotnik has a watch. Why does he have a watch? He doesn't wear a watch. But Gerald does wear a watch in the film. I'm very interested to go back and watch this again and see if Gerald's watch disappears at some point, because my assumption is that either in the storyboarding process or maybe it made it to the film, there was a scene where Gerald gave Robotnik his watch as sort of like, here's a little family memento, my boy, and like Robotnik wears it, and that's why he would be wearing a watch when it goes backwards to tell us that, you know, time travel plays a part here. But they remove that. And it's kind of clear in the mid-credit scene that they also were playing with some sort of like Terminator 2 time travel nod that, again, they didn't commit to. So I don't know if this is an abandoned concept that will rear its head once Sonic 4 comes out, or if this is something that is just completely deleted from the film even before they started filming. I don't know. But one of the big like red flags for me was the fact that Gerald was very cagey about how he is still alive, even though he's 110 years old, but he looks the same as he did in the cutscenes, or not cutscenes, I'm thinking video games, from the scenes 50 years earlier where he's there with Maria's body. And my assumption is that he time traveled 50 years ahead of time. I don't know. They never explained it. It just seems kind of weird that he would, like, they never explained how he broke out of prison. They never explained if he was like there in the abandoned facility for so long. He looked like he stepped right out of the moments from like 50 years ago. He still has his ID badge, which is really weird. He's not in his like prison uniform. So again, I think there are some elements of the film that were cut. What else am I missing? I don't know. There's some fun interesting little things. I really liked how they included Biolizard. It's such a bizarre element of the video game plot that to have Biolizard basically be like an old Godzilla movie that Shadow watches with Maria, and then later remarks how like how the people reacted to that to the monster in the movie, and like, would they do that to me? I thought it was interesting to like give Shadow and Biolizard a connection, even though Biolizard's like not actually in, you know, the plot itself. I liked that they included Sonic dying a bunch, because Tails did that little simulation and you see Sonic die like two or three times, which seems like a nod to the games where obviously Sonic would die. I also liked a lot of the music cues. The whole live and learn was obviously like you had to do it, but I liked how it was present throughout the film, how there was like a really dark live and learn, how Maria was playing it, how it finally came into the final moments. And you can actually go online right now, the soundtrack released, and I listened through it, and they still have those little motifs throughout. I don't think it has the final bit, because I think that was actually live and learn. I could be wrong. I didn't listen to the very, very end, but you can hear that throughout. I thought that was cool. The level completion song was cool. I think the needle drops for the movie were a little weak. Nothing really stood out for me. I think Queen in the first movie with the turtle was like probably the best needle drop they did in the series. And then, of course, in the sequel, we had Sonic and Tails doing their little dance in Russia, which, you know, it wasn't great, but it was like I can remember the scene and the music. But in this movie, yeah, nothing really stood out in terms of the like licensed songs that they picked. The Run It towards the end credits was fine. It was serviceable. I have no complaints. I think the Sonic the Fighters sort of animations going on were really cool. It was cool to see Shadow in that like AM2 style graphics. Yeah, Eggman's theme pops up very, very briefly when Robotnik gets a phone call. It goes, diggadack, 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 diggadack. So that was pretty funny. And also the soundtrack incorporated the Robotnik Sonic 2006 Eggman theme, which was neat. So it was in no way on the level of like Super Mario Brothers, the movie, in terms of how much music they utilized and how memorable it was. But it was much appreciated to have those songs. And I've heard City Escape was credited at the end. Was surprising I didn't hear it. And then, yeah, also Event, the last scene, which is the most most forgettable title for a song, Event, the last scene. It's such a video game title for a track, was there as well. I think they should have had the menu, the options music from Sonic Spinball. That would have been cool. But yeah, I think Sonic was really well depicted. Despite all the characters in the movie, he didn't get lost in his own film, though I do kind of prefer Sonic 2 as a movie, just because you get a lot more Sonic and Tails and Knuckles interactions, whereas here, you know, you have to deal with Shadow and Gerald and Robotnik. But still, Sonic was really well handled. Tails actually played a part in the events of Sonic Adventure 2 in a much more active way, instead of riding around in a mech, which was nice. I really liked the scenes where you got to see Sonic and Robotnik work together, Agent Stone and Tails working together, and who was Knuckles with? Who was Knuckles with? I don't remember. Was he on his own? Maybe he was. And Knuckles, speaking of Knuckles, I thought Knuckles was like the standout of the three. He had so many great moments and lines. I think it's because we spent so much time with him in the Knuckles series. I know people goof on the fact that it was mainly Wade's series, but still, Knuckles got like 30 additional minutes of screen time, which is probably more than Tails ever had, and might even be, you know, on par with Sonic throughout the three films. You know, maybe, maybe not. But yeah, I really like Knuckles. Idris Elba's Knuckles is probably one of the best takes on the character in a long time, just because it retains a lot of what I liked from him in the early days, where he still wasn't like completely BFFs with Sonic. And yeah, I mean, that covers the main characters. Shadow was really well handled, felt like an extension of the game Shadow. I'm kind of surprised how the Year of Shadow is, as you know, it's a marketing gimmick, I get it, but they actually did really focus on the character this year. We got a great interpretation from the movie, we got a great interpretation from Sonic and Shadow Generations, so it was really great to like have the character be rejuvenated, refreshed, and made relevant again. It's so funny when you look at Sonic and Shadow Generations and see Shadow's like history, how it really kind of ends in 2006, and then he's just like a cameo character or a DLC character. It's like, oh yeah, he's in Forces. I forgot about that. So yeah, I liked all the characters. I think overall it was just a really great movie for fans of the series. It was a very natural progression from Sonic 1, 2 into 3, which surprises me. I've seen some franchise films where it's very clear that like creatives took over and were like, we need to, we need to right the ship because the last film was so bad. Case in point, X-Men The Last Stand, and then you go into X-Men Days of Future Past. It's like very clear that the creatives were like, we gotta do something right for the fans, because that last movie was was shit. But at least here, it seems like they still stay true to what makes the Sonic movies the Sonic movies. They still have Tom and Maddie. They still have Green Hills. They still have Longclaw. They don't forget about where the characters themselves within the movies come from, which is great. And they also adapt what happens in the games really well, with still keeping things interesting, which I really appreciate. I think if Gerald had remained dead, and I think if Shadow's death, spoiler alert, was like left up to, you know, like we never see what happens to him, it would have been a little more forgettable, because it would have then just been a straight Sonic Adventure 2 adaptation. But yeah, so let's talk about the mid-credits and post-credits scenes. So I was clued into the Amy and Metal for some time, but even though I knew what I was going to see going into it, I was surprised. I didn't think that there would be multiple Metal Sonics. That was a surprise. I rewatched the clip again online because the guy who was next to me screaming kind of ruined the moment the first time. But it's clear that there's like a main Metal, and then there's all these like soldiers for Metal. And that was surprising. It also, like I said, seems like they're doing a Terminator 2 sort of situation where Amy's in it. Amy is, you know, coming from some other dimension or from some other point in time to stop Metal Sonic from killing Sonic, and maybe to tell Sonic that he needs to make some decision that's going to alter the course of the future. It's interesting because they're putting Amy in kind of the role of Silver the Hedgehog, but it makes me wonder if this opens the door for Amy maybe being from the past, and then we get to see Silver from the future, who's maybe working with her. I don't know if they'd include Silver in Sonic 4, but I think time travel is a great direction to take the series, because we could revisit events from the past films. We could see new takes on characters who are either dead, presumed dead, you know, like we could have, we could still have Robotnik actually be dead. He sacrificed himself. I didn't really talk about that, did I? Yeah, he died, apparently. But we could have a time travel plot where they go to an alternate reality or an alternate timeline where Robotnik's alive and he's like super evil or he's super good. Like, I think Jim Carrey might dig doing that sort of thing. But yeah, it surprised me for how long it went on. It seemed like a short film almost. It was like a minute, which was much more than Tails just coming through a portal or them going, dear God, Project Shadow. And yeah, I don't really have much more to say about Amy and Metal Sonic, except that Metal Sonic's design is like basically the video game design, which I don't mind, because you can't really improve any more on that or change it because it's such a great design. I mean, we saw that with Sonic Boom and Sonic Prime. Metal Sonic just... Is he in Sonic Prime? I don't remember. No, they have like other robotic Sonics. Sorry. But Sonic Boom Metal Sonic just looks like Metal Sonic. He's like very... Like, I think they just like changed some of his limbs so that like the heights are correct or something like that. But yeah, I'm jazzed. I'm actually more excited about Metal Sonic than Shadow. So that was really cool. It's almost surreal. I still can't like process that was like on screen. It's kind of wild. Amy looked great. She's got a, I don't know, her eyes looked a little different, a little interesting to me. I don't know. I almost got like, I don't want to sound offensive, but she looked like she was like a different race. Does that sound weird? Maybe it does. It's just the way they drew them. She looked very like, I don't know. It didn't look like she was, they were like, oh, let's make a character that's going to be Anna Taylor-Joy or whatever. But yeah, her design looked really cool. It's clear that they put her in this brown cloak because they don't want to commit to a design for the costume. So I thought that was kind of funny. Her hammer looked cool. So looking forward to that. The end credits with Shadow was, you know, it was what it was. I didn't even think he was dead. I kind of expected that to happen. But yeah, it was cool how they were like, oh, it's in his inhibitor ring. Oh, wait, he's picking it up. All right, the end, you know. But yeah, I think moving forward, they should give Shadow his own miniseries or film. I think if they did a movie or miniseries, it would be great if it was Shadow leaving the Earth to explore his origins, and he travels with like some people from Gunn. He meets Rouge in the process. Maybe they could send a Gunn robot along with them that was like a former design from Robotnik, and that turns out to be Omega. So we get Team Dark. We get Sonic, or we get Shadow exploring his origins. Maybe we get Black Doom or something like that. Like, I think that could be really fun. And so we would get new characters, but it wouldn't impact the ongoing Sonic plot. It would also keep Sonic and Shadow separate because they're not really best friends. They don't hang out together. So that would be cool. And then as far as the Sonic 4, like, you know, it's kind of sky's the limit with them, but I would like to see a time travel play a part. I would like to see Sonic maybe tempted to go back in time and save Longclaw. And maybe that's what he does that causes this whole like alternate future where Sonic doesn't come to Earth and things go to shit. I mean, Jim Carrey could come back and be like, have the black hair and the little mustache. I think that would be really wild. Or they could go really crazy and have like Wade be the villain. And I'm not joking. Like, I think that would be really funny to have like an evil Tom and like Wade is like something else. I don't know. But yeah. And the only other thing that I was like thinking about after seeing the movie too, I went and revisited the Sonic 2 post credits. And those play really weirdly now. And I did the same thing with Sonic 2, where I went back and watched the post credits of Sonic 1. So like going in order, post-credits of Sonic 1, Tails comes through the portal, he says those lines and flies off. Sonic 2 movie comes, they redesign Tails, they give him the backpack, and he's actually like doing that during the events of Sonic 2. It's like the way the timeline works is a little weird. And then in Sonic 2's post-credits, we have Walters getting this report, and it's like, sir, we have something to tell you. We were going through Robotnik's files, like purging them or whatever, and we found something. And he's like, oh, what'd you find? She goes, like a file from 50 years ago about a black ops site, you know, very hidden. And he goes, dear God, Project Shadow. And at the time, you were thinking, okay, Walters is learning that Shadow is somewhere, and he didn't know where it was. And he's learning that Shadow's still around and being held somewhere. And that's the surprise. And then when we see Shadow, the surprise is that he's waking up. But now, having seen the movie, we know that Walters not only was there, but played a part in putting Shadow away. And so how does that change the ending to Sonic 2? Because his surprise shouldn't be that they now know where Shadow is being held. I guess his surprise would be is that there was information out there that others could access knowing where Shadow was. And the fact that it was in Robotnik's files means that there's a possibility that Robotnik knows about Shadow. But that's not really the case now in Sonic 3. So my little like headcanon or something, the way I interpret it is that Walters was surprised to know that the information was accessible, and he knew about it. He knows where the location is. You know, he knows about Project Shadow, but he didn't know that other people have the possibility of knowing. I also suspect that that information, and I mean, this is, you know, like my headcanon and how it I can make it work, because clearly they changed the plot going into from 2 to 3, is that because Gerald was still alive, those files were actually not Ivo Robotnik's, they were Gerald Robotnik's files, and so they didn't know that Gerald was still alive and accessing this information. So, you know, my assumption is that when they gave that report at the end of Sonic 2, he was surprised that someone knew about it, and then the double surprise that then was revealed in Sonic 3 is that it wasn't that Robotnik, Eggman, knew about it. It was that Gerald knew about it and that he was still alive. And that's kind of the way my head interprets it. But still, it is a little sloppy. And it gets a little bit sloppier once you take into account that they had some time travel elements that were cut at some point in production. But yeah, so that's a lot of the spoilers. But overall, I really enjoyed it. Did I like it more than the first movie? Absolutely. Did I like it more than the second movie? In many ways I did, but in many ways I still like Sonic 2 more. And I think my reasoning for that is that I'm still an OG Sega Genesis kid. Where is it? There it is. And so I really like the idea of a movie that basically adapts Sonic 2 and Sonic 3 and Knuckles, but does enough interesting things to keep the story surprising. I also really liked in Sonic 2 how Robotnik was kind of in his prime the whole movie, that he got his look, that he had the Egg-O-Matic, that he had the little buzz bombers. I liked a lot of the chase scenes, like in going down the mountains and Sonic turning super for the first time and seeing the Death Egg robot. There was just a lot of things that I personally as a fan really like. And I think the number one thing, you can see it here, is the tornado. Like, I just love that aesthetic of like Sonic and Tails on a biplane. So to see that like in live action was just wild to me. It actually was, to be honest, like that was crazier to see than me seeing Super Shadow and Super Sonic. I don't know why, because I mean, Sonic Adventure is also a big part of, you know, my history with the franchise and being a fan. So overall though, yeah, this is like, even with Sonic 2 in terms of like how much I enjoyed it, I would say if Sonic 1 in its original form, if I were to ever see it, I'd probably say 5 out of 10. I'd say good effort, but what were you thinking with that design? But I think they really saved it. I think it's a solid like 7 out of 10 movie. It's a good effort, especially in the post-production phase. Sonic 2, though, I actually really, really like that movie. I would say 8, maybe 9 out of 10 for that. Like, it's one of my favorite like Sonic things that's not a video game. And then Sonic 3, it did enough to surprise me. And I think it really embodies that Dreamcast era, and I don't think we're going to see that again on a film. Like, because it's only two games and they're not going to be adapting the original Sonic Adventure at all. I think the most we got out of that was the Knuckles series with Pachekamekalek or whatever, Christopher Lloyd showing up. So, yeah, I probably would actually give it a 9 out of 10 as well for Sonic 3. I think it did a lot right, and it still stayed true to what made people enjoy both the Sonic movies and Sonic Adventure 2. So that is a lot of talking from me just to say that I enjoyed the movie. I'm going to scroll through the chat here, see if anyone said anything. So we have Brian Zilla. He said, "My theater botched it." He's talking about the fan event. "They gave me the wrong poster and they played the countdown, which with featurettes after the movie. Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if that happened at mine. I mean, I got the right poster, but not the the featurettes. Let's see. We have someone talking about their voice acting, which is kind of off topic, but whatever. Scroll. This is ridiculous. I'll add this. I would love to see Manic and Sonya be in the end credits for Sonic the Hedgehog 4. If they are, I envision Macaulay Culkin as the voice of Manic and me as the voice of Sonya. That's crazy. Well, I like that, actually. I like how you could have totally had Jaleel White and then you threw a curveball and threw Macaulay Culkin in there. And I don't know if you've seen him lately. I saw him. I was on the streets of New York. I was on a street corner, and my girlfriend, now wife, said, "Hey, look who that is." And I looked over, and it was Macaulay freaking Culkin standing on the corner in New York. He was lost in New York. And I was like, "Take a picture of me, but actually take a picture of him." And so we took that picture, and then he, like, bolted. And then seconds later, we look across the street, and we see Sabretooth himself from X-Men Origins Wolverine, Liev Schreiber, with his son. I'm like, this is crazy. New York's great. You can see all these celebrities. But yeah, I'm all for that. Let's see. 100% true, laughing at a joke, clapping at the end, and then it's 2019. I am in India, and people are whooping and freaking out over Captain America returning in some sequel. Was cringe. Yeah, I mean, I think audiences, they have and they haven't changed. People still react, and that's great. But I think once you start whipping out the phones and you start, like, sounding like a Twitch streamer doing their reaction, like, you're not being genuine. This is for content. This is for clicks. Especially if you're, like, leaving the theater to upload the video. It's just, like, loser. And I just have to say this. Yeah, no more Olive Garden. Not even an Olive Garden joke in the movie. What a disappointment. But like I said, print out a picture of Commander Walters, print it out, put it in your Olive Garden. Let's see who else is in here. I'll scroll down to the bottom, see if there's anything new. So how much do you think the Sega cartridge Sonic 3 promotional cart is worth? That's a good question. I never got one of those. Whatever. It's not like I have, like, a Sega Genesis that I can play it in, and it's not like I have thousands, tens of thousands of followers on different social media platforms. It's not like we have a reach of like a million people combined. But yeah, I don't know how much that thing's worth. It was really weird because they sent it to people like on a Saturday and the trailer released on a Monday. So it was like a 2-day window of getting people to like tell people the trailer's coming. But then social media was already telling people the trailer was coming. So it was kind of pointless. They also sent it to some strange choices, people with like little to no social media reach. They just like were people with small YouTube followings, like whatever. I mean, I have a small YouTube following. We do here, so whatever. But I don't know. I haven't checked eBay. Check eBay, see how much that's worth. My favorite thing that I own is my Sonic 2 cast and crew hat. I got that off eBay. I'm very proud of that. And also, a little plug here, I didn't do this at the top of the show. We've got merch. So the Sonic the Hedgehog Gotta Go Pasta mug. This is the white version. There's a black version. I think it's linked below. I might have put it on here. If not, you can go to segabits.com and it's in the upper tab. You click shop. We've got these. I think there's going to be some Christmas sale coupons going on. I'll check. If not, I'll turn some coupons on. But yeah, you can get these. They're a great Christmas gift, but if it's too late for Christmas, they're a great all-around everyday gift. And this is from my collection. This is a scan that I cleaned up. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite things. I wonder if it's, I don't know. We'll see. They haven't pulled it yet. They did pull my Chow Garden design, unfortunately. I had Chow Garden t-shirts and coffee mugs and tote bags, and they pulled it. Even though I designed it myself, I like recreated the Olive Garden logo, but I think in the new year I'm going to be doing some Mean Bean coffee designs. I'll put those up there. We'll see what happens. But yeah, go for that. Also in the audience comments, we have King Bradbury. Audience reactions were also influenced by the MCU films. No Way Home is an example of moments made specifically to cheer. Toby and Andrew both had pauses in their entrance. That's so true. And, you know, I've been watching Family Matters. And as you get to those later seasons, you know the first time that they filmed Urkel coming out for the episode, even if it's like out of order, because he comes, he goes, "Hello, Carl!" And then like he stands there going. And that's just what I do when I enter rooms. I come in and I'm like, "Barry's here!" That's my little catchphrase. And I just kind of stand there. I look around. And then I start talking. But yeah, the fact that they're baking those into movies is wild to me. So I'm looking forward to seeing this at home and also maybe on a more quiet day so I can hear some of the music and hear some more of the dialogue. But yeah, that pretty much does it for this episode of the Segabit Swing Report Show. I'm so glad that I was able to get one done before the end of the year. And we will be back. We have an episode planned for, I want to say, January 1st. That's going to be, George is going to be joining me. We're going to be looking back on our favorite and most disappointing games of 2024. We're also going to be looking ahead to what Sega is going to be offering us in 2025. We're going to have some special guests. We're going to have Patrick Corimaru, who does a lot of our convention correspondence, and I think a member of the Sonic Weekly podcast might pop on too. We're doing a little more collaborationing with them, so that's fun. I love those guys. I'm in their Discord a lot more now because I like being somewhere where I'm not the moderator. I like posting things and thinking, ooh, I might get the mods mad. You know, it's kind of, I like being a bad boy sometimes. So that does it. We'll see you January 1st. We also have Sega Talks coming out. Be on the lookout for those. And, you know, you never know, I might drop a Sega News Bits live. But until then, have a great holiday. Have a great, oh, I'm wearing this shirt. Look at that. Anyway, have a great holiday, have a great new year, and we'll see you January 1st. And then I'm going to be on Sonic Weekly on January 2nd. So it's actually going to be kind of fun. We're going to have a lot of good times. So until further ado, thanks for playing, and we'll see you next game on the Segabit Swingin' Report Show Live.